Hear now the words of our Lord. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So far the text. Let us pray. Good shepherd, shine the light of your word upon this dark world and into our hearts, that thereby we may believe and be strengthened in faith to the end that we may follow you all the days of our lives and even forevermore. Amen. Fellow redeemed, the calm has been shattered again. Who can talk of green pastures and still waters when bombs are going off? Who can think about the good shepherd and sheep when everyone's talking about the injured and the suspects? An unhealthy fascination commands the attention of millions today after yesterday's bombing. Why are we here? Is it because we're insensitive, oblivious to the chaos? Of course, that's not the case. To be sure, these bombings are an evil thing. To be sure, the wolf, the devil, is biting and snapping and on the hunt, trying to snatch and scatter the sheep of Christ, but his fangs are not found chiefly in the terror of explosions and the pain of bodily injuries. What he is truly aiming for is to stop you from hearing your shepherd. The wolf wants to snatch you from the fold with apathy and doubts and depression and anger and confusion with a million useless, perishing words to occupy your thoughts and fill your ears. He wants you to think about, yes, to know how awful your shepherd is. He wants you to know how terrible your God must be, powerless to stop these things from happening. He wants to raise the doubt in your mind, the idea that God must be vindictive and angry if he'll let such things happen to these poor innocent people. Oh, how the devil howls and snaps, and we stare like sheep sometimes with bug-eyed fear in our hearts as we're reminded of our own frailty and our sins and our sorrows and death by events like this. We shudder, and suddenly we feel quite alone in the mire of such thoughts. But fellow redeemed, we're not here today because of the devil's howling and snapping. The good shepherd has called us into his flock. And I am to draw your attention to what he has said. The great I am is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, the text says. That's present tense, by the way. He is known by his own. That's present tense, too. All the sheep of the good shepherd are known by him and know him. He does not say, I know some of my sheep. He doesn't say, I have a passing acquaintance with them. He doesn't say he once knew some of them, maybe just the disciples that were present when Jesus spoke these words. He doesn't say that we stop knowing him when we die. This knowing and being known is as timeless a statement as is his great name, I am. Look how Jesus likens our relationship with him to that inseparable relationship that he has with the Father. All our human frailty and our sins and our sorrows and death, all that supernatural viciousness of the devil with all his distractions and lies will not stop the Good Shepherd from knowing his sheep. And they will not stop us from knowing our Good Shepherd unless we foolishly choose to leave him behind, because it is he who has called us into his flock. It is he who lays down his life for the sheep. The words that Christ uses make it clear that this is his will. He will die on purpose, not suicidally, but sacrificially. Clearly, he has in mind the great sacrifice of the cross that is soon to come for him. But why does he say this on the heels of, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father"? Why does he first express a relationship like that of Father to Son? Why does he linger on that thought? Why is it the reason that laying down his life for the sheep has meaning? The picture of the Lord as Good Shepherd was not something new. God wove it into the entire history of the Hebrew people. He called himself Shepherd in the book of Genesis already. And then we have that great picture of David, the shepherd boy. And it's a picture, an imperfect one, of his greater son. And David wrote the Psalms to keep this picture of the shepherd before the hearts of the Israelite and before our hearts forever. But unfortunately, in this modern day world that we live in, I think we've kind of become estranged from that ancient picture. Shepherds live solitary lives, protecting and keeping the flock, helping them to bring forth new life. But this is about as far as my paltry everyday knowledge of shepherding goes. But there's another part of this picture that I'd like you to know about. When a lamb is orphaned, none of the ewes will accept it. And left to its own devices, it would die of starvation. But the shepherd steps in, and he finds a lamb that has already died and carefully cuts its pelt off and dresses the orphaned lamb in that pelt. And then the mother of the dead lamb smells that familiar scent of her offspring on the orphan and will give it her milk. And eventually, that orphaned lamb begins to smell of its surrogate mother's milk, and it will be accepted. All during this past year, we've been considering a very grand theme, and that is this. On the one hand, God is the author of history. And on the other hand, he's its pivotal actor. On the one hand, he is high priest. On the other, the sacrifice. We think of God as creator, and yet in Christ, he is human. And here we find the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, covering us with his spotless righteousness so that we're acceptable even as he is acceptable. Because of Christ, God counts us as his own dear lambs. He has accepted you. He has made you his own, heirs of all things. These are the eternal things that God would have us think on in times of trouble. So listen to him. Believe him. He alone has the words of eternal life, and that eternal perspective orders everything rightly and truly, so that we don't look upon a shattered earthly piece as evidence of God's inability to deal with something. Nor do we look upon earthly peace as anything but a dim reflection of the green pastures and the still waters of heaven? Did not our shepherd say, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Let us arise and join our hearts in prayer. Good Shepherd, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. In your wisdom, you have permitted a terrible thing in our country. We implore you, let not the hearts of your sheep despair, nor faith fail us, but sustain and comfort us with your word. Direct all efforts to attend to the injured and console the grieving. Bring hope and healing. Grant that we may love even those who hate us, even as you have shown grace to us sinners. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.